oversaturated, oversaturated, oversaturated,
Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, pop culture, and everything in between. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode number 91.
91! Usually I try to stick with the football players, but I couldn't think of one with 91, but I got Dennis Rodman. You know, he was 91 when he played.
Okay, nice. Man, new listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you check out our website, oversatthepod.com. Anything you need to know about OS is there.
Yes, sir. And if you want to follow us individually, I am the Mind of Ralph on Instagram. And, you know, I got a YouTube page now, the Mind of Ralph. Check it out.
Facts, y'all definitely check out his YouTube. His first vlog. It was brought to my attention. I should have said vlog instead of blog. His first vlog was fire, very inspiring. I did some soul searching. So you definitely check that out, the Mind of Ralph. But as for me, follow me on Twitter, JON2_B. Instagram is JBS_ESL_AAMU. Listen, man, I'm straight off of work, bro. I just logged off, so I'm trying to switch my mind over to.
I feel you, man. But relax, You know, we got a nice little docket in front of us. But you know, before we get to any of that, man, how you doing, man? How was your holiday? Happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners.
Yeah. Happy belated Thanksgiving, if that's a thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was real light. I just threw some chicken and some turkey wings on the grill. Mm-hmm. Took them to my mom's house and we kicked it like this. Yeah. We did a family Zoom, like the family we would normally kick it with during the holidays. Mm-hmm. We just did a family Zoom for about an hour and a half. You know, just laughing, joking, catching up.
It was cool. That's what's up. Man. It was cool. Nothing to really write home about. You know, popped over two family's houses to grab food and then bring it home, and then you know, the wife went to her people's to grab some food, and we just came here and, you know.
Hey, man, that's what's up.
Man, I ate one plate and was done. Like, all the food we had, and I don't really eat a lot, but it's just like all the food I had was a good combination to put your boy out. Like,
hey, shit, sometimes that's all you need.
Yep.
Listen, I have been craving some jerk chicken.
Yeah.
So I went and bought some jerk seasoning from Schnucks. That's the local grocery store for people that's listening and that's not from St. Louis. Yeah. And I put that, I let it marinate overnight and grilled it. Listen, that it was so fire. Like, oh,
that's how it turned out.
It was fire. So anytime I grill now, I have to make some jerk wings. Like, I have to.
Gotcha.
Like, it's delicious.
Gotcha.
Delicious.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, man.
Well, nah, man, that was great, man. But nah, we just had to catch up real quick. But y'all know what it is. It's off the dome
now. Off the dome.
It.
You want to go first?
Yeah, let me take it.
All right.
So the other day I was just riding and one of my favorite songs of all time came on, and I'll get to that in a second. But it made me think, like, this is a song I feel like is as close to perfect as a musical composition could be. So I want to ask you, like, what do you think is like the most perfectly structured or just perfect song, period? It could be any genre, like whatever, you know, whatever genre you think it is. What song do you think is the most perfect song ever created? And if you need more time, I could give my answer.
You can go. I'm thinking of something, but I'll let you go.
Okay, so my answer is Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. Now, the reason I say that is it's a combination of things. First of all, when you hear the beat, it automatically makes you want to dance. Two, the song itself, it's a storyline. Mm-hmm. Three, you can sing along to the song. The lyrics aren't difficult to learn and It's easy to hit the high notes if you want to hit the high notes. Mm-hmm. And it's just a song that makes you feel good. I feel like it's a perfectly structured song.
Interesting. Okay. So many ways I can go with that answer, but a perfect song, I don't know if that really exists, but
and as I would say, perfect as you think it could be.
I probably say, I don't know why this is popping in my brain, so I just have to go with this answer. But Dark Fantasy, the intro on Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the okay. beat change, the like his flow on that song, the Nicki Minaj acting like who she, you know, some British woman or something like that. I just thought it was a fire intro. And like the more we revisit these conversations, you really notice that. So, like that song, I'll just say that song, I'm not gonna say that album. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that Kanye West was able to do on that particular album, but that song in general set a tone for the entire album, whether you know we have these debates or not. Yeah. But it aged gracefully. It's something that you can listen to right now. It doesn't feel like it was made in 2009 or 2010 when it was recorded or released. So
right.
Yeah. I'll just skip with that.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song. Like you said, it aged well. It's the
thing with having a perfect song, it has to age well.
It has to be a timeless piece of musical art.
Yes.
And I also feel like Billie Jean is that. Billie Jean came out 30 years ago. Like you could put it on right now and listen to it, you know? So yeah.
No, I rock with that. For my off the dome. Hollywood had picked two funny white men to kind of be the front men for certain movie franchises or movies or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you a choice. Who is your preference or who you think is better, whatever you want to give me? Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey?
I think I'm going to lean toward Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because, okay, so I do like Will Ferrell as mm-hmm. a comedy actor. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he's only good at one type of comedy. Like, mm-hmm. it's like the dry humor, like that's his bag. He excels in that. But with Jim Carrey, he gives you all types of comedy. He could do the physical comedy, he could do the dry humor, he can mm-hmm. do pretty much any aspect of comedy. That's mm-hmm. that's what he did on In Living Color. Like mm-hmm. that's how he came up. So I'm gonna mm-hmm. have to go with Jim Carrey because it's mm-hmm. I feel like his comedy range is mm-hmm. wider than Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm. I say, well, to kind of counteract what you just said, I know Will does a lot of physical stuff too, so I wouldn't just say he does only dry humor.
But is it good though?
I mean, he does the same thing Jim Carrey does. If you get slapped around, jump off a building, like, I mean, it's all the same stuff. You're saying like it's hard to do. But Jim is a better actor, so that's mm-hmm. where you're probably separating the two. Like, I think Jim Carrey's movies are probably, I mean, they are better. Like, if you look at the Ace Venturas of the world, the Cable mm-hmm. Guys, like, you start going through Jim Carrey's filmography, it's, you know.
Yeah. Extensive.
Yeah. Jim is a better actor when it comes to his comedic timing and everything. I think Will needs somebody to help him carry a movie.
Okay.
I never watched a movie just for Will Ferrell.
True.
But I can watch a movie for Jim Carrey alone.
And it seems like Will Ferrell's characters are all the same. Kind of like Kevin Hart.
Well, that's why they made a movie together.
But
no, it's funny because I can watch Batman Forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only for Jim Carrey playing Riddler.
Yeah.
I can really watch that horrible movie for that. Or is it Batman and Robin? I can't remember. But it was one of those, like one of the last two, right?
Yeah, I think it's
Batman. But Jim Carrey playing Riddler was a bright point in that movie when the movie itself was not that great.
Agreed.
So it's like he can be a shining bright piece of something in a bad movie. So yeah, I'm going with Jim Carrey then, clearly. Like
Because you're not gonna get that with Will Ferrell.
Oh, absolutely not. He's not gonna make the movie better.
Mm-mm, mm-mm, at all. Damn, that's interesting. Like what were you watching to get that? Like
Oh, I was watching, I got inspired. I was watching All Deaf and they was talking about something with that. So that's where I got that from.
Got you. Yeah, I can't even tell you the last Will Ferrell movie I've seen.
I was watching Old School the other day.
I've never even seen that. So.
Oh,
so yeah.
You're losing, my pal. You're losing, man. It's like, okay, real quick premise, right? Mm-hmm. It's a movie where these older guys, like they're in their 30s, they start a college fraternity because their friend who's recently, like Luke Wilson, who recently got a relationship, he found a new house, but is on a college campus. In order for him to keep the house, he has to do something socially, like, you know, social with the campus. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be a professor's house, but he died. So... So in order for him to keep the house, they started a fraternity, which I think is fucking hilarious. So you got Luke Wilson, Vince Vaughn, and Will Ferrell. Like, it's a combination of those three. Like, Will Ferrell is, like, clearly the comic relief in this mm-hmm. movie. Mm-hmm. But it's still a funny movie where, yeah. you know, everybody pretty much gets their shit off.
Got you. Interesting. I might have to watch that on a boredom Saturday. I will be disappointed.
You won't, man. It's fucking hilarious to me.
Damn, that's funny. Yeah, I'm gonna have to put that on the list.
Right. But that was a complete sidebar. But people, yeah. That was Off the Dome. If you would prefer Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey, please let us know. And Johnny?
Yeah, and what do you think is the closest song to being perfect? Like, what song do you feel like is the closest to a perfect song that there is? So let us know. Let us know. We want to hear from y'all.
Yep. And now we are on to the pull-up. The pull-up is the segment of OS where I give creative control over to my co-host, Johnny. He decides what topics hit the OS news desk. So he's going to decide if we pull up on it or keep it moving.
Yes, sir. Ooh,
we got a docket today. I hope you're ready, my guy.
I'm ready.
First thing first is Grammy season. Johnny, are we pulling up on that?
Yes, let's pull up on it.
Well, now we're here. We're here again. Grammy season is upon us. Actually, the Grammy nominations have recently come out. The Grammys are slated to come out in February, something like that.
I think it's January 31st.
Okay, they changed it. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, you know why we're here. We only here to discuss the rap stuff.
Facts. But
let's first start with the best rap album. And then if we go to anywhere else, you know, we got that too. But the best rap album, we have D Smoke with Bad Habits. We have Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist Alfredo. J Electronica, A Written Testimony. Nas with King's Disease and Royce the 5'9 with The Allegory. Johnny, your thoughts?
When I first saw these nominees, I immediately thought to myself, why is J Electronica nominated? Why?
We have established that he is clearly the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jeez. Or a lie, because that's what we rap
about. Yeah, so. Come on, man. Listen. We reviewed politics. This album earlier. It has to be politics. Like, we reviewed the album earlier this year when it came out. Like, it's not a bad album, but it's like, this is not what we wanted from J Electronica from his debut after waiting 20 damn years. I know I'm exaggerating, but still, like, come on, man. I really don't think J Electronica should have been nominated.
Absolutely.
The second thing I thought when I saw this list, I wanted to know the eligibility period of submitting albums, because I really felt like Benny the Butcher should have been nominated. I really felt like that. But when I looked at the eligibility dates, it's from September 1st, 2019 until August 31st, 2020. With that being said, next year, I hope Benny is nominated.
Okay.
Shout out to Royce for being nominated. That's dope. Even though, you know, we kind of killed that album. Shout out to Freddie Gibbs, man. Listen, Freddie been on the run the last 5 or so years. I know we've been talking about Freddie off and on the last couple years, but I'm really happy to see him be nominated. So let me ask you, who do you think is going to win this? Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think should win? Let me ask two of them.
Unfortunately, I think J Electronica is going to win. But who I think should win? Freddie Gibbs.
Okay.
Absolutely. Freddie Gibbs is in his prime right now.
Yeah.
Everybody else is debatable. Like, D-Smoke just came out as a solo art. Well, as an artist. Like, so technically, he's a rookie, no matter how old he is.
Yeah.
Nas is a clear veteran.
Facts.
You know, Royce is a vet, and Jay, old ass, is a vet, too. So, I really hope Freddie wins this because it represents so much more if he does. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, him being the independent guy, like, you know, the stretch of run that he's on has been on. Like,
yeah, man, seriously.
He deserves this. I mean, everybody deserves it. Don't get me wrong. Because honestly, out of these five albums, I can rock with three of them being here. Mm-hmm. Two of them, I'm not so much. Like, I'm not sure why D-Smoke is here. And I'm not sure why Jay Electronica is here. Everything else I can really, these are solid picks.
Right.
So it's not like years past where I've had gripes with the best rap album. I don't think we really had like two major gripes, but this is a solid list in my opinion. But two of them are just kind of like, yeah, we could have did something else with them.
I think they give it to Nas. I think this is his Petty Award, his Petty Grammy. Seriously. That's what I believe is going to happen. I think out of these albums, I really do think Freddie should get it. In retrospect, I see what Royce da 5'9" was doing with the allegory, and I can appreciate it more now than I did when it first came out. But I just enjoyed Alfredo more than the allegory. Like as a project. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Alfredo more. There are songs from the allegory that I still play today, but as a complete project for me personally, I just Alfredo was better. So that's what I'm rocking with on that.
I mean, shout out to the Grammys for kind of getting. I don't know. We'll see. You know what they pick. But if you want to dive into these other rap categories real quick, we got the best rap song. We got a Lil Baby with the picture. The bigger picture. We have Roddy Ricch with the box. Drake and Lil Durk with Laugh Now Cry Later. Rockstar with the Baby and Roddy Ricch, and then Savage with Meg and Beyonce. Who you think is going to be your pick there? Like who's gonna win there?
Who I feel like is going to win, I'm going to say Savage. Mm-hmm. What's crazy, so I'm looking at like the list of the people, I guess, who wrote on the song. Mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion's name is like, I don't even, what's Megan's real, is her real name Brittany? Brittany Hazard? What's her name?
I don't know. I wouldn't imagine that it's not Brittany.
But. The interesting part about this is that Beyonce and Jay-Z's name are first in the list of songwriters on this song.
Mm-hmm. Terrius Dash is on there too. The Dream. Shout out to Dream.
That's crazy. I think they're going to give it to Savage, but I feel like Roddy Ricch and The Box needs to win this. That song was huge last year. Like, huge.
Yeah, it was. I have no takes on that. It's just kind of like, it is what it is. And they can give it to Drake if they want to. Like, I don't know. I don't care. Like, it's like one of them. But, like, one thing I really want to touch on is the fact that they made up a new category, which I think nobody has really done. The best melodic rap performance to kind of separate those guys that, you know, have melodies in their raps from the actual, I guess, lyrical miracle or the traditional rap performers. So
I actually like the fact that they did that. But what I don't like about it is that, hold up. I was going to say that, like, The Box is nominated for best melodic rap performance and best rap song. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking to myself that it shouldn't be nominated for best rap performance and best melodic rap performance. Like, they need to keep those separate.
Yeah, exactly.
But never mind.
It can go so many ways with that. But I mean, my Trojan horse pick for that is, I'm actually surprised to see Anderson .Paak here, like that Anderson Paak, I'm not sure you pronounce it, but for them, you know,
I say Pop.
For him to be in here when he's not technically a rapper. Mm-hmm. So.
And see, and that's where the line is blurred because. In some of his songs, it does seem like he's rapping melodically instead of singing. But like, it's weird. The lines are really blurred. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to know why they pick certain songs for certain categories. And then, like, let's go to deep best rap performance. Right? Mm-hmm. You have Deep Reverence, Big Sean, and Nipsey Hustle. I mean, the Baby with Bop. Yeah, Jack Harlow, What's Poppin', Lil Baby again with the Bigger Picture, and then Savage, Meg and Beyonce, and also Pop Smoke with Dior. So,
what? Okay, let me ask you: what do you think is meant by best rap performance?
I have absolutely no idea. Okay, like, I can't even ask because these just seem like the best rap songs. Like,
Right. So I'm going to tell you what I personally think their take on performance is. Mm-hmm. It's the way that they deliver their lyrics in the song. That's what I think it is.
Nah, you're giving them too much credit, bro.
You think so?
Absolutely. Like, you sit there telling me that the Grammys, which have never gotten rap right, are sitting there telling me, I care about how a rapper delivers their lyrics.
I'm just saying.
You're not on the rap Grammy board. We're talking about the other people. Now, like, let's be real about that. No, I'm not going.
I'm just, listen, man. That's what I think about when I hear rap performance. I mean, what else could it mean?
Jack Harlow was popping. It's not even the remix. It's the regular joint.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you what I think. I don't know. So from the people that are nominated here for this specific category, who do you think should win this?
Who I think should win? Mm-hmm. My personal, I think Deep Reverence should win. Because Big Sean was rapping about something a little bit more substantial than, I wouldn't say than Lil Baby, but I just like the personal, you know, I like the introspection.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, what, and then Lil Baby, you know, had a great year. So don't let me, you know, I'm not sitting there saying that he deserves to get slighted, but that's just my pick.
Yeah. So I really feel like Bop should have been nominated for best rap song. Mm-hmm. I love that damn song. But from this specific category, I think I'm going to go with Deep Reverence as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, Big Sean was rapping. Yep. And as far as Dior with Pop Smoke, right? So, I don't even know if I've heard this song. But let me ask you, do you think this is like, and rest in peace to Pop Smoke, do you think he was nominated because he passed away? Like, okay, so I'm not familiar with Pop Smoke's music at all. So this is just me thinking. I don't know.
I was about to say, yeah, because that song, you can't escape it, Johnny. That was a big song.
Okay.
Christopher Walken and probably Dior is probably his biggest songs.
Okay, got you.
So that's not a sympathy award. That's not a layup. Like, that's because the song did numbers.
Understood. Okay, got you. Right, and that's why I asked, because I'm ignorant to his music. So, all right, cool. I was just curious.
Well, next topic on the pull up. We have a brunch debacle. Johnny, are we pulling up on that?
Yes, brunch debacle is hilarious.
Yeah, man. Recently in Dallas, Texas, we had down at the True Kitchen and Cocktail, spelt with a K. There was a little bit of debacle that happened at brunch. The owner came out and lashed out at his customers about twerking. It's a lot that we can go into, but I think our listeners have heard the audio and probably have participated in plenty of debate. So let's just get straight into it. Johnny, your thoughts?
So my whole thing on this whole situation, I think two things could be true, right? First of all, the owner went to the ladies a few times beforehand and asked them politely to not. And I don't know why everybody is specifically focusing on twerk. Maybe because the young lady got up on the couch and twerked. Mm-hmm. But I think he went to them and just asked them not to stand up and dance in the establishment while everybody was around eating. And he talked to them a couple times before his tirade. He talked to them a couple times before it and asked them politely, you know, could you please not do that, you know, here? And they proceeded to do it anyway. And then after, I guess, the third or so time, he asked them to leave and went crazy. His approach in the last stance, even though I do understand it, probably still could have been a little, you know, he could have calmed down a little bit. But after you ask somebody to do something a bunch of times in your place of establishment, it's like, what else you gonna listen to? Because I asked you politely already.
This is true. This is a layered conversation. That's why I pretty much don't involve myself in these things on the timeline. But it's just, wow. The owner was right to uphold a certain standard in his restaurant. Mm-hmm. He was right to hold people accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
His approach was completely off, completely wrong. because he berated people that he wants to patronize his establishment as children or less than. And that's not a good look. And now your restaurant is viral for all the wrong reasons. But listen, my guy, you set a great atmosphere for that particular action to happen. Now, granted, no one should stand on the tables. I know he did his due diligence by going over there, standing, you know, talking to the young women, young ladies about what he didn't want to happen. Like, please, could you not? Please, please. I think he went over there maybe 2 to 3 times before it happened. But it's so, it's just like, man, look, you serve frozen cocktails in Douce bottles, my nigga. Like, man, look, you serve me some frozen Douce and some cocktails. Hey, man, I mean, some catfish or something, man, I might twerk too. I don't know. Like, but, and then, like, it's not necessarily the food. It's the DJ. Like, we're so black people, and I can kind of put us as a monolithic people right now. Mm-hmm. We react to music. That's just what it is. That's what it is. Like, you can't play the Negro national anthems and not expect emotion to happen. Like, if, now correct me if I'm wrong, listeners correct me, Johnny, you correct me. Mm-hmm. When he told Daquan, his DJ, which I think is hilarious, by the way, to cut the music, wasn't Back That Ass Up playing?
I think it was.
I watched the video a few times just to make sure that I wasn't tripping.
I think it was.
I was like, oh, so you got the number one Negro spiritual playing right now. And you're telling people not to be invoked by the spirit, and you're giving them alcohol. Listen. The most, we know a lot of classy women. We know a lot of women that, you know, may not, you know, party in that manner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
May not, you know, but Back That Ass plays and they're around. You know, you might get a little shoulder something. You might get a little, you know, little rear end action. You know, they do it, and we respect that.
And see, that's the part I feel like the ladies in the restaurant at the time were missing. Like, yeah, the DJ, you know, the DJ is turning up basically, but you're not in that type of brunch spot that is okay with you getting up.
So they thought,
that is not okay with you getting up and shaking your ass in the middle of everybody eating waffles and shit. Like, it's so, like, there are certain brunch spots that allow you to do that. The Marquee here, like, do that shit there. That's the type of atmosphere they provide. This guy at True Kitchen and Cocktails, that's not the type of atmosphere that he wants to have. And even if that music is playing, like, you can sit in your chair and gyrate a little bit. Like, you don't have to get up and stand on couches and do all that, put your hand in there, all that type of shit. Like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to just enjoy it while you're in your seat. Hey, in your seat, it's okay.
Douce, catfish, and an A will provoke anybody to twerk. Listen, they'll twerk harder.
This is why I don't fuck with brunch. Like, I don't want nobody twerk wind hitting my bacon. Like, I don't want that.
Well, I go to brunch. I just don't go to the Negro spots. I'm saying it. I said it. Like,
this. But see, and that's the type of spot he was trying to create.
He could do that. He can do that still. Listen, my guy. You can't have a brunch day party and not expect that crowd to fuck with you. Like, you can't.
Was it a day party or was it just brunch with the music?
With a DJ, that's a day party. With the DJ, we're a restaurant. No, I don't want to hear that. That is a day party. I want to hear that.
So you're saying it's okay for people to come in and make the spot what they want to make it, even though that's not what he intended for the spot to be?
Well, first of all, is it in his guidelines? Is it written down? Is it on paper? I didn't think so. So you set the tone. Like, this is the thing, and this is my problem with a lot of club promoters and restaurant owners and anything like that. You promote the trap lifestyle and things like that, but you don't want that element in your restaurant until something happens, right? You good with taking people's money until, well, set the standard, set the bar. You can't have a DJ that plays. Like, you really can't have that. Like, I'm sorry. It's not possible. It is not possible.
Why is it not possible? I guess that's my question. Why is that not possible? Why is it that we can't sit down and enjoy the type of music we want to enjoy?
You can, but
because nobody's gonna go there and want to listen to J. Cole. Like, ain't nobody gonna want to go there and eat brunch and listen to that.
That's fair. That's why I go listen to jazz. Like, I mean, this is the thing, man. Brunch has become such a big, cool, hip thing to do. Mm-hmm. That the DJ does set an atmosphere for certain things. But listen, bro, when certain songs get played amongst Black people, move out the way. You can't tell people how to govern themselves when you set an atmosphere like, oh, I can tell you how much to do, but just don't do it. You know, like, I'm gonna give you everything you need, but don't do that. That's what he's doing.
I don't know, man. I disagree. I hear what you're saying, man, but I disagree with that. I disagree.
Okay. Now, go to the marquee and they play that song and see what happens.
Well, see, that's why I don't go, because I don't want to have that type of atmosphere while I'm eating. Like, I'm trying to enjoy food. Like, if I'm just going to have finger food and turn up, like, I'll dance with a wing.
Finger foods. Yeah. No, it's not finger foods. Okay. Finger foods.
Just saying. What? Listen, man. I don't know. At a party, I'm not trying to sit down and have a plate of food. Like,
if I'm that's how they market brunch now. You can't sit and say that when they market brunch that way. He marketed that shit the way that he wanted. He marketed that brunch shit for people like that to come there and twerk, but don't twerk. You get mad when I come here and do the things that you want me to, like. No, you can't do that. Like, you serve whole bottles of Douce. And you sitting there telling the nigga he can't drink? I mean, can't dance? Oh, no. Okay, my God.
There's no dance floor. If you provided a dance floor, then this will be a whole different discussion.
Well, we didn't see the whole restaurant.
Also true. So.
We only saw one section, but, you know.
Hey, man, I just feel like after the first time he asked them not to get
up. Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, hey.
It should have stopped there, but, you know, now here we are talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. we don't even live in Dallas. We don't even live there.
But, you know, okay, last thing. The craziest thing I saw, though, after the fact, I actually saw this today. Apparently, and I don't know how true this is, but they have, like, 3,000 reservations now.
I'm telling you, man.
Which is crazy.
People either go there to show the hell up, like show like act up, or they going for the food, which I've heard is you know people talk about True Kitchen in a great manner when you talk about the food and the drinks.
Yeah, I'll tell you this: next time I go to Dallas, I don't know when the hell that's gonna be. I'm going if it's still open.
It should be. I don't see this being the death blow, but yeah. You know. But, you know, next topic we're going to pull up. We got Megan dissed. Are we pulling up on that?
We can pass. We can. Yeah.
Gotcha. Next topic, we got a Cornell Haynes Jr. Headline. Are we pulling up on that?
You know, we got to talk about the hometown hero.
Yes. Cornell Haynes Jr. Nelly. Nelly has been pinned to play Chuck Berry in the new biopic coming up. I forget the name. The name escapes me right at this moment. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. It'll be called Clear Lake. So, Johnny, your thoughts?
I'm not the biggest Nelly actor fan, but not saying I'm not willing to give it a try. Like, I'm willing to give it a try. And Chuck Berry is an icon. So I'm interested to see what he does with this. My only knowledge of Nelly acting is in, was it The Longest Yard?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen Nelly anything else. Music videos don't count.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've seen him acting anything else either. I think it was The Longest Yard. And, you know, people can correct us on that. But yeah, like, I'm not the biggest, you know, I really didn't know if he had enough in him to really act. Yeah. To carry a biopic, especially about, you know, a big rock and roll icon known as Chuck Berry. And then, you know, Chuck Berry has a bag, a side to him that, you know, we got to touch on, and it's going to be dramatic. So I wonder, first of all, can Nelly duck walk? I don't think so. that, you know, something
you ain't say them all Dance with the Stars?
He can't duck walk, though.
He looked extra stiff on that shit. I don't know if he can duck walk either.
He can't duck walk though. Like that's gonna be something else. Like, but I mean, hey man, shout out to him, man. I'm happy that, you know, he landed that role because I imagine that it wasn't easy. And then by him being a native son of St. Louis and Chuck Berry being the native son of St. Louis, I know that he would want to do the best that he can to bring that character to life.
Right. I'm hoping Nelly, like, shocks everybody and just blows, like, just kills his role. Like, he does everything right. Like, that's what I'm hoping. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. It can kind of be like how Three Stacks deal with Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie, but I haven't heard bad things either. So maybe that's kind of like the lane that it'll fall in.
Right. So. But we'll see. We shall see.
Right. Next topic on the pull up. We got a DJ Academics headline. Are we pulling up on that?
Yes. Only because of what it is.
Right. Well, actually, it's actually an everyday struggle. They're actually canceling the show now.
Yeah.
Beloved show, I guess you would say everyday struggle with DJ Academics. Wayne, is it Wayno? And Nadeska has finally come to an end, but DJ Academics revealed that he's leaving Complex. And I think that was probably prior to the Everyday Struggle being canceled. So, Johnny, your thoughts?
So, initially, when we discussed this topic, in my head, I was like, Academics is leaving Complex. Okay, Everyday Struggle might get better now. But then in trying to research the topic, I saw that they're actually canceling Everyday Struggle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now my thought was, first of all, I'm actually surprised that Everyday Struggle lasted as long as it did after Joe left. Because I remember right when Joe left, I think Star was the co-host for a minute.
Yeah.
For a short while, which was cool, but I feel like even Star was too real for Complex. Which is why he left.
Star too real for everybody.
Yeah, like, Star's
a wild boy.
Which is why that wasn't a fit. And then Wayno came on, and shout out to Wayno. But I don't know. I did not continue to watch because it just was like I was there to watch Joe because Joe was going on his tirades. Like, she was entertaining.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I from there it's just like I'm really surprised it lasted as long as it did after Joe left, honestly.
It's been, what, years, right?
Definitely. Yeah, years. I think it started, Everyday Struggle maybe started 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
It seems longer than that since Joe left. He probably left after year one then, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yep.
Okay, well, Ack was wild, and he had a few months where he was out here going at it. He was going with Freddie Gibbs. He was going back and forth with John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. I know Ack has built his platform, and Ack is, unfortunately, a big name, you know what I'm saying, at least in the internet, social media, blogger, you know, personality circles, right?
Yep.
So he is a force to be reckoned with unfortunately for all the wrong reasons. So I can see why Complex would want to start, you know, severing ties with that, because I think the Chrissy Teigen and John Legend stuff was like the final straw.
Yeah.
He can go back and forth with rappers all day, but once you start fucking with Chrissy and John, I think, you know, maybe they name in the entertainment world, you know, holds a little weight, you know.
Different level of celebrity there.
Like, yeah. So, you know, they beef with presidents, so it's kind of like, you know, like.
I mean, facts though.
So, What is Academics? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can get you up out of there.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So, but no, Ack could be all right, man. Like, for the people that love him, he on Twitch and he still has the, you know, Twitter following and all that. So, I mean, Everyday Struggle was just a moment in time, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Unfortunately, hip hop shows just don't last that long. The shelf life of a hip hop show just doesn't last like that.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, like, honestly, I really haven't watched it since Joe left. Like, I think I probably unsubscribed from Complex. I just wasn't really a fan of the content anymore.
Right.
Like, the overall content. Like, I can still fuck with a channel and not watch, you know, Everyday Struggle.
Yeah. But as
a channel, I wasn't fucking with it.
And now that you mention that, I don't subscribe to Complex or anything, but there were, like a bunch of different shows that they had on YouTube that I like, that I watched, like the Hot Ones. They had like a couple sneaker joints that they had celebrities come and do. But I don't like the Hot Ones is still dope. They actually got a TV show now, which I think is fire. Like a TV game show. Mm-hmm. But I don't really see Complex doing many more like YouTube shows. I feel like they're trying to shift their focus to maybe television now instead of solely focusing on YouTube. So maybe that's a reason why Everyday Struggle is being canceled.
Yeah. Everyday Struggle is great, as good as I think Nadeska had become as becoming a moderator. I think she started off kind of rocky because you're dealing with Joe and, you know, and they was, you know.
It was probably new for her too. So
Yeah. But I think over time, like, she became, like, better, way better.
Yep.
So Nadeska probably will land somewhere. I'm pretty sure, you know, Puff will pick up at Revolt or something like that.
She already has an Apple Music radio show.
Just those connections will be fine. And I know, like you said, Wayno kind of had his thing going before, so everybody will be fine,
right?
And I guess it's the end of an era for whoever still watched the show. I tuned out 2 years ago, so I got nothing.
And for what it's worth, Everyday Struggle was a good show. The concept itself was really good. Like, when it first started, of course, it was something new. Like, everybody was tuning in just because it was something new and Joe was there.
Yeah.
But the concept itself was dope. It's just unfortunate they weren't able to, you know, continue it and grow it maybe the way they wanted to. So here we are now.
Right. Yeah. Well, oh, man. But next topic on the pull up, we have, Young Thug. A Young Thug headline. Are we pulling up on that?
Yeah, let's pull up on it.
Well, recently in an interview on T.I.'s podcast, Expeditiously, Young Thug was, quoted as disrespecting Andre 3000 of Outkast, saying that he didn't know two of his songs. Johnny, your thoughts?
When I first heard this, I should have looked this up. Do you know how old Young Thug is?
No, I don't know how old he is, but you know.
So I immediately thought, I can't be mad at him because of his age.
Mm-hmm. He's 29.
Okay, never mind, because he's only 3 years younger than me. So, like, a part of me wants to be really upset, because who doesn't know two Andre 3000 verses, and they don't have to be deep cuts. It could just be some shit from "Hey Y'all," "Oh, you think you got it, but got it, just don't get it." Like, it could be something as simple as that. Like,
you'd be surprised,
right? Which is the other side of it. It's like, okay, yeah, that song was everywhere on the globe, but if that's not the type of music the people around him listened to during that time that it was hot, then we can't be mad. Like, we can't be mad at it. We can't be mad at it. So it's like, I'm on both sides of the coin. It's like, at one point, there was a time you couldn't escape Outkast. Like, you couldn't escape them on TV, on the radio. But at the same time, the people he was with, the people he grew up around, if that's not who they were listening to, that's not something he would gravitate towards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know.
It's layers to this conversation. Before I get to Thug, I'm gonna just explain the other side of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thug really could have been ignorant, but he's not. But he could have been ignorant to Andre 3000's music and things like that. Andre 3000 doesn't have an extensive solo catalog, so let's just put that out there. Thanks. So he has to know Outkast. So he would just say, "I don't know two Andre 3000 songs," which could be a fair thing to say. Like, but if I'm 4 years older than Thug, I was in high school when, like, Outkast was popping.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about somebody that's 4 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So you sit there telling me that, you know, he was bumping Stank on you when he was in the fifth grade? You know what I'm saying? Like, by the time he in ninth grade, by the time he's in high school, that Outkast is pretty much done.
Yeah.
Like, Idlewild is not an album, you know, per se. It's a movie soundtrack, but it's not, like, you know, an Outkast album. So you have that thing going. And then it was a different age of Atlanta by that time. So You think he was really listening to Outkast? Like, I mean,
definitely not.
I'm talking about Thug and the people around him and the type of music that Young Thug makes. You think that, you know, they was bumping Outkast on the West Side like that by that time?
Nope.
Outkast out of here by then, baby. They are global. They are mainstream. That the Atlanta sound has, they have left that, because they may still rap greatly, you know what I'm saying, which is, you know, evident to be true.
Yeah.
But by the time they got to Speak About Love Below and Stank On You, they were leaving organized noise. That's a big nugget that I think people have, you know, overlooked. Yeah. But let's get to Young Thug. now that I've painted that
set the tone.
Yeah. Thug was hurt. I had, like, when I looked at the actual, like, clickbait soundbite, you know, excerpt, quote, mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, I get it. Like, he's just a young kid that didn't fuck with Andre. And that's all it was. Like, people took this thing left and ran with it. But Andre 3000 was supposed to do a verse, or they was probably going to link up and do a song together, mm-hmm. which probably, you know, would have been a good song. But somehow Andre big boyed him into, like, you know, no pun intended, but like on some, you know, all right, you know, that's cool, give him my secretary. And like, so that was, so I was like, oh, so Young Thug is hurt. Like, he's hurt. Like, oh, I get it. Like, and then, like, it could be like that too. Like, man, fuck that nigga. Like, I know him from Atlanta, but fuck him too.
Listen, man. Listen. Andre 3000, for the last, I'm going to say, 4 years, has been seen randomly across the United States playing the flute. You really think you about to just get a verse from him just, like, on the fly like that?
Well, hey, Andre has, he drops verses here and there.
They probably went through his secretary. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Like, if you, like, okay, Andre 3000 has become, like, the mystique of Andre 3000 is, like, you're gonna see him when you see him. Like, mm-hmm. he may show up in Atlanta studio tomorrow and be in Australia the day after. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna have to get to him the way that people get to him. Yeah. If he tells you, hey, you're gonna have to hit my secretary, because I don't know where I'm gonna be. I don't know where I'm gonna be tomorrow. So yeah, this person gonna know. So you gotta hit them. Like, you can't be, if you want the verse that bad, like, you gotta,
yeah,
you gotta get to him the way he say. Like,
hey man, it's just a miscommunication. But now it's just like, he's just, I don't think he said fuck Andre. It's just like, I don't know two of his songs.
And two things could be true. Like, he could have wanted a verse from Andre and still not know any Andre verses.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to at least that clip of Expeditiously, you'll definitely see that he's hurt. Like, it's more so hurt than anything. But, you know, people have just been going these tirades and everything. I find it hilarious, but I'm like, like, Young Thug came out as a troll, man. He came out trolling Lil Wayne. So, hey, man, and I think he's directly more influenced by Wayne than he is Andre. But,
and I feel like that's because of his age. Like you said, he was in middle school, just starting high school when Outkast was really popping like that. Because he definitely not going back to listen to Aquemini. Like, he ain't going to listen to that shit.
Nah.
So, like, what we talking about?
Like, hip-hop purists, y'all can fool yourself saying that shit. No, he can be very aware of Andre 3000 and not know his music.
Exactly. And that's the thing with people, Young Thugs, aging younger. Like, Kanye West, that's their goal. Like, people that me and you grew up on, that we don't necessarily say are the GOATs, but we understand their legend. Like, that's mm-hmm. their GOATs. Like, that's their Jay-Z and shit. Like, mm-hmm. Kanye West and all that type of stuff, so.
But that's very true. Like, we always talk about, like, you know, we're the middle childs of hip-hop. We get the 80s and the influence and everything, but we grew up in the 90s and the 2000s, yeah. So that's our era, right?
Yep.
But these kids underneath us may not ever get, like, an Andre 3000, and that's fine. But that's on us to kind of, you know, I guess, check them and let them know. That's what T.I. was letting them, you know, kind of. He was right. Letting them get his shit off respectfully, but he was like, hey, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and we can give them the game, but it's up to them to, like, listen and actually want to go back and check all that stuff out. So that's all we can do. That's all we can do.
Very, like, just like the generation before did with us.
Exactly.
But yeah. Next topic on the pull up. We got Kevin Hart and Black Panther in the same sentence. So we pulling up on that.
Oh, snap, I'm laughing. Nah, we good. We good.
Next topic and final topic on the pull up. Oh, this has been an extensive pull up.
I know, right?
I feel like it's just a pause. I don't know. But anyway, Jaden Smith is rumored to be coming to the MCU. Johnny, you want to pull up on that?
Yeah, we can skip it.
Okay. Well, hey, people, that was the pull up. let us know about the I'm goofy right now. Hey, let us know about the topics that we pulled up on. You know, I'm pretty sure you're cussing at us by now. Let us know what topics we skip. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back on the other side of that with the topic of the day.
Yep.
Due to the Poindexter Maul himself, Alpha Tom, Bergie Two Times, Wally Kovacs, AD, and Ali on the Mogul Lounge every Monday at 8 a.m. on UrbanMogulLife.com for the latest episode, and make sure to follow on Twitter at Urban Mogul Life.
Thank you for tuning back into Oversaturated Podcast, episode 91.
Yes, sir.
And we are here to talk rap today. We wanted to talk about something fun. We have had too many layered discussions in the past. We need a fun topic for 91, man.
Yes.
But rap today, we just want to discuss like rappers that kind of fell from grace. A lot of like in 2020, we get a lot of prizes from rappers. It's evident that they can rap, right? Mm-hmm. But why are you still out here? And it's not the fact that, you know, it's one thing because rap is so funny, because you think of rappers, it's kind of like athletes. Kind of like, you know, they're like they had a prime. Yeah. This version of this motherfucker, you was not seeing. But, you know, years later, it's kind of like, you know, we appreciate your 17 points, but you know, it's not what you used to give us 35, you know what I'm saying? The 35, 10, and 6. You know, that
the same the occasional 60.
right. But now we gotta listen to MCs and we gonna see how this pans out. But you know, we'll start at the top. The creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
Eminem, Marshall Mathers, Marshall Bruce Mathers, the second, I might add.
Damn. Man, listen. When Eminem, first of all, Eminem has one of the greatest, well, how do I want to say this? The first three albums, one of the greatest first three album runs, like ever, in the history of hip hop. So let's start there. Now, I don't understand at what point we stopped really fucking with Eminem, because his ability to rap,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's been up and down, because he got to a point where he was like too much on the drugs. Like at mm-hmm. one point, like the drugs was really like affecting his ability to like think coherently and all that type of stuff. But even so, today he's sober, like, and mm-hmm. his ability to rap has probably even gotten better than what it was back, mm-hmm. like back around the time he first debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking of why we don't really check for him like that, I think it's because the times are different. Like the things that he's rapping about or the way he's rapping isn't really mm-hmm. fitting with what's going mm-hmm. on in the landscape of hip hop today. Even with mm-hmm. him trying to reach out to some of the younger acts or newer acts.
Yeah. He took too much of a break, I think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know he's getting his life together, but hey, one thing we need our rappers and musicians to have is these vices. Like, we need them to have vices. Like, Eminem's was clearly his drug abuse and, yeah. you know, his troubled past. But when you get past, you know, constructing those three albums, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, it's tough, baby. What we gonna do? And Marshall is one, I'm calling him Marshall like I'm Royce or something.
Right.
But Eminem is one of those rappers that takes pride in lyricism. So, mm-hmm. when you get your trouble and your pain out, what are you rapping about now?
What's
now? Because, like, one thing I can definitely say about Eminem, you know, I ain't even the biggest Eminem guy, but those three, the first three?
That's what I'm saying.
I got nothing to say. It's just after Eminem show, it's just kind of like, you know, it's hit or miss, baby. But you can't deny the impact of the first three. Mm-hmm. So, I enjoy Eminem as a rapper. It's technically skilled, like not really scared of anybody, you know, beef, you know, all that great stuff. But it's just one thing about great artists when they start becoming insulated and they lose touch with everything around them. Like yeah. that's that's bad for business, because this happened to, you know, other greats outside of the genre.
True.
But, you know, we'll stick to our rappers, but Eminem has definitely, I would say, lost touch with how rap goes now, because one thing you got to do, it's kind of like you got to spar. You got to spar with these guys. Like Royce or D12 can't be your litmus test for what's going on in the streets, because even then, they're still detached. They're still older guys, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, and we almost, and when I say almost, it's an emphasis on almost, got a glimpse of him wanting to spar, as you put it, with some of these newer acts with Music to Be Murdered By this year. Yeah. Like he had Juice WRLD on there, he had Young and May on there, but Eminem'd the song. Like in every song he went nuts with the speed rap. Which is cool, but like
somebody called the nigga, somebody called him Porky Pig one day. I was inconsolable, bro.
That's hilarious. But like we're at a point where Eminem, we know Eminem is going to destroy a microphone. We know this. We know his ability to do different technical types of raps. We know that.
But
now, if you want to do that on one or two songs on your album, cool. Do that shit on your own time. But when you got a Young MA on your song, try to match her energy on the song. Because this, like, her verse on Music to Be Murdered By was actually dope. Like, I enjoyed that song, but here he comes with the Porky Pig shit.
And the thing is, Eminem, for him to be technically skilled, he doesn't like switching his flow to, like, you got to meet people where they are. Because imagine this, right, and how much of a train wreck this song would be. Ross and Eminem on the song.
I never wanted to hear that. I know how it was going to be.
Ross never changes his flow, and Eminem never changes his. So nobody's going to meet nowhere.
Oh, my God. The thing is, I don't even know if Eminem could rap like... Well, I definitely know Ross can't rap like Eminem.
Oh, no. They can't rap like each other.
I was going to say, I don't even know if Eminem could, like, try to slow his verse down. Like, that's crazy.
Like, Eminem...
Even Twista does that.
Listen to this. Eminem on a Justice League beat would be so trash. And Justice League produced nothing but heat.
Oh, come on. Listen, imagine, oh my God, imagine just the smoothest Justice League shit. You know, we ride some shit you ride to. You ride to. Yep. And here come Eminem.
Like, my dude, what is we doing? What is this?
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
Like, nobody, everybody in the studio co-signed this, huh? Like,
nobody said, hey, Eminem, you can't do that on here.
No, check. You know, slow it down just a little bit. Nobody said nothing. All right, gotcha.
Fam.
I see.
It's hilarious.
Speaking of somebody else that, you know, can rap, still rapping with the best of them as far as just rapping, Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne hasn't lost his ability to rap. I just don't think he makes good music anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. His ability to make a good song, it seems like it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I think he popularized, if that's even a word, songs without hooks. Like think about Amelie. Amelie was big. Like Amelie was huge, and it didn't really have a hook.
I think I get what you're saying, but I think there are probably other people before that probably did it.
Did they make it hot though? Because I feel like a lot of people tried to do that after Lil Wayne.
Just tried to go in and rap.
Yeah.
Don't need a without research, I don't know. So you know, you got it. But I get that point though, because like Lil Wayne would just go.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was dope
for it to be a hit. Yeah, you know what? Okay. I can kind of see where you were going with that point, because with you to rap on a beat like that, just go, no hook, and it be a hit, arguably one of Lil Wayne's biggest hits, right? Mm-hmm. On his most critically acclaimed album.
Yes.
Like, it's up there. But I think with Lil Wayne went through periods, right? Obviously, you got Hot Boy Wayne, which was a shell of who Wayne is now. But, you know, you're talking about somebody that's 16, you know what I'm saying? So him going through that and then, you know, maturing. And then by the time the Carter hits, I think that's when, right before the Carter is when his prime starts to meet personally. I think he started, like, with the squad mixtapes and all that stuff. When he started doing all the squad mixtapes and all that, he started putting people on notice. Like, and then the Carter came, the Carter 2, you know, all that. So I'm giving him – it may not be a three-album run like Eminem, but it's a good period, a window of where Lil Wayne was just, you know, that dude. So maybe – people don't count the Carter. I do. I count the Carter. So let's just say the Carter – to Carter 3. Mm-hmm. That's 4 years.
Yeah.
Anything after 08 is debatable.
Yeah. You know, another aspect to Lil Wayne, I think he went through similar things that child stars go through. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, when you're a child star, you know, you're the star for the moment, you know, you're doing all your acting, and in Lil Wayne's case, you know, rapping, touring, doing all this stuff. Like, you don't get a chance to be a teenager. You don't get a chance to do the shit the regular kids, teenagers and shit do. So when you get to the point, and in Lil Wayne's case, he's like stupid rich, right?
So when
you get to the point where you mature and you haven't done all of these adolescent things, because that's when you really find yourself, learn, you know, do's and don'ts of certain situations and all that type of stuff. I feel like that affected him mentally. And then on top of that, learning that he was in a bad contract with Cash Money and all that, that's even more added mental issues. It's like, I feel like he went through a lot at such a young age that that also affected his ability to make music as well as he got older. Because he's trying to do the rock shit. Like,
he did a lot. Like, Wayne was doing a lot. He was supposed to do, like, a joint album with Lloyd, joint album with T-Pain. He did the rock album. I'm like, I would rather put the joint album with one of them before the rock album. I like two songs on the rock album, don't get me wrong. I mean, of course, Drop the World and Prime Queen, but those singles, I don't listen to nothing else.
Right.
But Lil Wayne was in such a space, man. And, like, we went to Eminem with Devices. Lil Wayne, I'm a pill popping animal syrup sipping nigga. Like, I'm just, hey, look, man.
What's in my cup is my cup.
It's my cup. Talk. Right. It's my cup. So, those vices, man. But that was Wayne. Wayne had a four year. I mean, obviously, the hit still went, you know, after 08. But I think in hindsight, 08 was the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And then everything after that is kind of like plateau. And then, you know, where we're at now.
Man, I still remember that run right before the Carter 3, I think it was. He was killing everybody featured. And then Carter 3 did that million in a day.
You know how good a rapper Wayne was. We actually bought into the Light Father, Light Son album and didn't complain. We knew we came here for Lil Wayne and Lil Wayne only.
Amen.
Like, we came here for Lil Wayne and Lil Wayne only, but somehow Baby Birdman finessed us.
That's how crazy Wayne's run was. And I feel like Baby sensed that. And that's why we got the Like Father, Like Son album. Like, that's crazy.
Right. I mean, it really is. Man, let's talk about your mans. I don't know. He can be my mans. Kanye or Mari West, man. Go ahead.
That could be our man's.
Yeah. Look, man. Now, you know how you gave Kanye, you know you gave Eminem a lot of credence for three albums? I give Kanye five. Five exceptional, five genre bending, like five albums that pretty much just changed how music is received and listened to. Like, I don't think we'll ever get that. And this is fuck hip hop. Music.
Music. Yeah.
Like, I've had these revelations, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person to have them, but this is just how I'm convicted now.
Yeah.
I think Kanye is on the level of like a Michael Jackson, a Stevie Wonder, a Whitney, those people. Because you got somebody that really transcends music. Like, he's not even a hip hop artist. He's just Kanye. He's just like, you know, the name Kanye is synonymous with, like, that is insane. This crazy fool was talking about running for president, and we actually paid attention.
Fam, he got about 50,000 votes. like just like, in the country. Like that's crazy.
Kanye is probably the biggest star out of hip hop. Like if you're talking about strictly the music, I don't think there's he's up there. Like you can go Eminem because of the you know the sales. You can go Jay-Z because of the longevity. You can go Will Smith because he went rapper turned actor. But he's in that he's in that company, and he's probably more like
saying that out loud. So we've had some conversations about this in the past.
Yeah,
but like sitting here saying this out loud, I think I'm going to have to agree.
You
like,
start drinking the Kool-Aid just a little bit. It's not. I don't have anything. I'm just telling you what the track record is.
Yeah.
And then you got the production tip. Like Kanye is probably one of the most decorated artists too of all time.
Yeah.
You know he has more. He has more Grammys than Jay-Z. He has more Grammys than Beyonce. He has more Grammys than Mike. So.
Because, just talking about Kanye, period. Even just outside of hip hop, he's done so much. I'm still just on the music. I'm not even talking about nothing else. I'm talking about just music. I'm not even talking about hip hop right now. He's produced for some of the biggest acts, and like has gotten Grammys off of those. Like, and then we go into the fashion, and then we go into all these other influences. It's like, damn. It's talking about this also, it hurts more because of how he his fall from grace. Like,
yep,
the past few years, like seeing him go crazy, and maybe that also speaks to his genius. Like, maybe he was just so successful to the point where it really fucked him up. Like, it really messed with his mind, and now for whatever reason he's MAGA and shit like that. Like,
yeah,
it's just I don't know. Right, now it's unfortunate.
Right, it's very unfortunate. But you just start thinking about those five albums, and we can sit here and debate which one's the best and all this great stuff. If it aged great, but it doesn't matter. Every time he dropped, it was a moment.
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment.
Like, I mean, College Dropout might have missed everybody because, you know, we're still trying to figure out who he is.
It was fresh.
No. But Late Registration, moment. Graduation moment.
Moment.
808s and Heartbreaks, a moment.
Super moment.
You already know. I don't even have to mention the last one. I don't, because you already know that was a fucking moment. So it's kind of like, I hate to see that. And, you know, Kanye was one of those guys that we let slide on the writing tip. Like, it came out of his mouth. He said, I'm going to stop rapping after three albums. So, arguably after Graduation, he didn't write shit. You can check the credits. Saha on a lot of that. Travis produced a lot of that. Like,
listen, man. Damn, this is crazy. And now it makes me wonder what could have been had he not going through, I guess, the mental lapse that he did. Like, damn, he might have been on par to be like with Michael Jackson. Like, that's crazy. Like,
Mike clearly had, you know, Mike is Mike, and we know why Mike is Mike. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get into why we know Mike is Mike.
Yeah.
But Kanye is building a resume to where he is a god-tier artist. And I think we won't recognize this until, for one, he snaps back into reality and becomes some old self. Or, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. God, so that's the only way we'll start to respect the legacy that Kanye has laid.
At what point do you think we stopped really fucking with Kanye like that?
I think honestly, I stopped fucking with him when you started, like, it was before the Trump stuff. So the Trump stuff didn't even, like, bother me like that. So it was somewhere after probably The Life of Pablo. Like, it was somewhere up in there.
But, like, what was it? Like, because I'm trying to think back. What was it then? Because that was well before the Trump stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's a definitive moment. Kanye had so many moments of, like, lashing out to paparazzi, saying, you know, slavery was a choice was a lot for people.
Yeah, that was crazy.
The Trump support and doubling down on the Trump support.
Yeah.
Hey, look, man.
That's so crazy. Like, this is the first time I feel like I've openly discussed Kanye in this type of depth. And now just thinking about it, like, it really makes me sad because he was on, like, this wild trajectory to, like, be...
When you start thinking about the first five albums, I'm being respectful. You know I love Mike. Mike doesn't have five albums. He has three. Three, great. But five?
We can have that conversation later. but for the sake of this conversation, I hear you.
I mean, and I'm not putting, I try putting down Mike, but I can't. You know what I'm saying?
That's for troll purposes.
No, seriously, it's just like no artist. I mean, Stevie Wonder had a lot of albums, so that's different. Prince had a lot of albums, so that's different. Yeah. But if Mike is the bar, Kanye might be setting a new standard.
Damn, so...
In his own way, you know?
So based on this conversation, I think you said this, like, Kanye is the biggest hip-hop artist, like...
Oh, no, he is. There's no... Jay-Z is my man, but Lil Bro is bigger than him.
Yeah. Damn. Just for what he done, what he's done for
music. Yeah.
Damn. This is like I'm really like during this conversation, I'm really just sitting here thinking about like just everything from when Kanye came out to now. Like this, I've never
this was sat and thought this, about this. This was a blasphemous take back in 2011 when Watch the Throne came out, but in hindsight, it does kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. I said that Jay-Z was lashing himself onto Kanye to make this album.
Yeah,
in hindsight, you can say that. Back then, it's kind of like, how dare you say that about Jay-Z?
Because I was one of the people that said that. I ain't going to lie. I was one of the people that said that.
But you said it from a malicious place. I said it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kanye's star power. Like, Kanye's star power in 2000, from 2010 to 11, is unmatched. It's crazy. It's
out of here. Damn.
Think about this. Think about the Music Coalition. And people like forget how big this was. Jay, Beyonce, Rihanna, Kanye.
That
four-headed monster is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
But Kanye Kanye fucked that up.
He did. Damn, this is like I'm really like,
I know people
flabbergasted right now. Like, this is crazy.
I know me and you having this conversation, but I hope the listeners are, you know, kind of taking heed to it. I know I'm not the first person to come up with this, so I'm not, you know,
right, yeah, that moment.
But I just want people to like really sit there and think about it. And then we can have a conversation. Because excluding motion. Five albums that you're not getting five great albums from too many people.
And the another crazy part about the five album thing is, in the midst of that, one of those wasn't even a rap album.
Like I said, genre, like, but you know what 808s did for music, so we gotta go there,
right? Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like for him to be able to pivot like that, because you got College Dropout, Late Registration, and Graduation. That's a you can call that a series.
Yep,
but to completely move from that and do something completely genre bending.
Yep.
And that shit influence hip hop.
Yep.
Like that's crazy for it to work like that. Think about your favorite artist. It don't even have to be hip hop artist. Think about your favorite artist, and this is to the listeners. Like your favorite artist couldn't do that, and the shit really work.
Five consecutive albums, not. He got 10 albums and every other album, you know what I'm saying, the three-album run. No, five straight. I think Kanye probably is on album 10 by now. I might.
Crazy.
But your first five? And he did that. Think about that. He did that in 6 years.
That shit is crazy.
College Dropout came out in 2004. The last great Kanye album came out in 2010. That's 6 years. That's insane.
That's crazy. That's
okay, crazy. Next. Next week.
We might only need to do like one more play.
Right.
Hey, we can do a part two shit.
Right. Let me see. Who would be a good one? Let's talk about Nicki. Nicki Minaj, man. Let's talk about a woman. A woman in this one.
Let's do it.
Nicki. Onika Mirage, man.
Listen, bro.
Let me ask you this. Okay. Nicki had Pink Friday. Mm-hmm. Pink Friday, Roman's Revenge, or Reloaded, or something like that. The name escapes me.
And then you had
a Pink Print. Those are the three albums, right?
Yeah.
Now you have Queen, which we talked about, which was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she has four albums. Now, this is a 10-year span where, you know, Nicki was out undoubtedly the queen of hip hop, right? Yeah. 2010 when the actual album came out to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's her reign, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Nicki has anything left?
So, the answer to your question is no.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really critical of Nicki Minaj. So she's a good artist. Mm-hmm. I appreciate her contribution to hip hop.
Yeah.
And I understand how she got to the place that she is.
Yeah.
Nicki was the queen of hip hop in a time where there were no other mainstream women in hip hop. We have a slew of them now, which I'm grateful to see. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
I go back and forth and thinking if Nicki would have had the reign she did if there were other women in mainstream hip hop during that same time. Not mm-hmm. saying she wouldn't still be a star,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if she would have been the mega star that she was.
Well, you got it's a lot that goes into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nicki is she's very talented. She can mm-hmm. sing, she can rap.
100%.
Extremely marketable, right?
Yes.
So you got that going. But for her to be the only one, like I want to disagree with you so bad just for the sake of this conversation, but I don't see like Nicki would undoubtedly still be a star, but would she have pivoted and started doing pop records? That's debatable.
Yes.
And I think that's what we're kind of going with the conversation, because I don't think that she would have did Starships and shit like that. I don't think she would have did a song with Jesse J or
you don't think so?
I don't think she would have did as many pop features as she would have did. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you beefing with Miley Cyrus. Come on, my guy. Like, I mean, come on, my girl. Like, what we doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what we doing? How we doing this? Like,
man,
And this is the thing, right? I'm talking about somebody that has a 10-year run and no classic album.
And see, and that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's why I say if there were other mainstream women in hip-hop during that span, like, I don't think she would be as big of a star as she was because,
you know, I think,
yeah,
I
she,
think,
can, she can you rap,
know,
but...
you know what this is like? When you don't have any competition. So you take your foot off the gas when it comes to your best, like putting your best material out there, right? And the guys, the pool is oversaturated, no pun intended, right? The pool is very oversaturated. So you better do something to make you work. Like and if you want to stand out from the crowd, you better have this particular ad lib or the way that you rap. Like Nicki could spread herself so thin in 10 years, I don't know if I want to hear another Nicki album when she's ready. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she just had the baby. Congrats to her.
Yeah,
her husband.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, all that great stuff. But do I want to hear a Nicki Minaj album after this? Probably not. Rap,
let me tell you.
Because Queen was all right.
Nicki Minaj's biggest rap. I'm sticking to rap hip hop here, right? For this part of the conversation. Nicki's biggest rap accomplishment was her monster verse. It wasn't even her song, and it was just a verse. What other rap moment did Nicki have?
Listen. That was 10 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. What other rap moment?
Like you said, it wasn't her song. It wasn't on her album. It was just a moment.
It was a feature.
The fact that she out-rapped three of the hottest niggas at the, you know, or, you know, two of the GOATs, you know, if you want to go there for two on the track. But it's just, Nicki had a, I don't know, man. I love the idea of Nicki. I may not love every song that she does, but I just felt like she could have done she could have done so much better, but I can hear people coming, you know, countering that with look at the success, look at the money, look at the, you know, the chart position.
She didn't have a choice. There was no other women. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. If we speak specifically rap here, mm-hmm. like, there was no competition for Nicki Minaj.
And Nicki doesn't have, like, I mean, she's awarded and things like that, but she even came out recently just in still kind of crying about a Grammy snub a few years ago. So,
you know why? Because her albums and songs aren't that good.
They're not really. Like,
so that's what I'm saying.
To me, like, and I could be completely off base, but when I try to listen to Nicki Minaj albums, it's kind of like listening to Drake albums. You get 3 to 4 songs you fuck with, and then everything else is just, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to be able to give Nicki more praise when it comes to rap.
Yes.
Like, I will never be able to take away her accolades, everything she's accomplished. Like, much success to the queen.
Yep.
But if we dig into, like, the music itself, mm-hmm. it's not that good.
Yeah, like, see, like, this is the thing. You benefit from an era where you don't necessarily have to make a strong project. Some people can argue about the projects, but in my opinion, they're not that strong in comparison to what I can get, you know, other places. And, you know, her counterpart, which is Aubrey, right? Mm-hmm. I think he has stronger projects than Nicki, but he has more of them, too.
Yeah.
Nicki took her time to give us the mediocre. Like, at least Drake, you know.
Also facts. And she also repackaged the first album like 3 times. Like, don't give me a deluxe and a reloaded. Like, what are we doing? What are we
with
doing?
Two more. Hey, man, Starships got to go somewhere on this album. So I'm going to put it on. I keep saying Starships. But Starships was horrible, man. It's a super bass. Super bass. Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Come on, man. Like,
Nicki got bops, but we sitting here talking about an album now, my guy. Nah.
See, like, seriously though. Like, she does Nicki's, have singles.
Nicki got singles. She got bops. She got a feature verse here and there you fuck with, but
we listen, talking about the overall
bodies of work. Like, come on, man. And it's crazy to sit here and say that a rapper as big as Nicki Minaj has a shelf life. Now, I'm saying this. It's kind of like our arguments with Wayne and our arguments with Eminem. Nicki Minaj can come out here and rap still. I'm pretty sure of that. But do you think it's going to hold up, especially with, you know, Nicki's going to do her numbers, but it's kind of like, is it going to hold up with the Cardis, the Megs, the Lottos of the world, the Rhapsodies, you know, shout out to the Queens. It's just like the pool is deeper now.
And the thing about the newer women rappers now, content aside, they're actually rapping. Like,
yeah, it's not too many like singy song
people. Yeah, like we may get a song or two where they want to be melodic, which is cool, but we're talking, they are rapping, like they rapping about what they rapping about, but they're rapping is the point. It's not a bunch of extra voices and let me talk to myself and all that type of shit. Like,
I get that. I like that because, yeah, like, even if you go down to, like, the other, like, it, you know, it's a slew of women MCs that I haven't named, but mm-hmm. I can't think of anybody that's doing what Nicki Minaj was trying to do.
Yeah.
The only person that's honestly trying to do that is Cardi, and I'm not saying she's trying to do that. Mm-hmm. That's just because she's in a commercial lane like a Nicki Minaj. Yeah, right. So she might, you know, get a singing song rap type of thing going.
Yeah. And what's crazy is Cardi, I don't know what's happening with her second album, but Cardi was on a trajectory to be the next Nicki Minaj, I feel like, with a good album, with a Grammy nominated album.
A Grammy winning album, then she won.
She won? Oh, there you go. Yeah,
we talked about that before.
I forget.
She actually won for Invasion of Privacy,
which is crazy. So like, yeah. she was headed that way, and I think it's kind of, I think her time, I think Cardi B's time has passed, but we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah. I think it's damn man, you gave us short shelf life, bro.
Because listen, no, okay, let's just say pandemic over, everything opened up in 2021. Cardi put out an album. You really think it's gonna go like her first one did? And it's not even thinking about a sophomore slump. This is just in general.
Nah, I mean, unless she go sit on WAP and do the cheat code stuff, you know what I'm saying? Let the, you know, that bump up sales. But if this is going to be a good app, well, this is the thing. It's kind of, it's hard judging this, right? Because I know in hindsight, we're judging Kanye West as an artist, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's how we would have to judge Cardi, because Cardi is known for not writing completely her whole songs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the powers that be will let Cardi have a bad project. And for what I've seen, Cardi has a good ear and a good team of people around her. Because I don't think I really heard like a Cardi song like "This Ain't It."
You like the Money song?
A Money was cool. Okay. It was cool. Like I don't think it wasn't like "This Ain't It."
Okay, got you. I fuck with it too.
No, I fuck with Money. It's kind of, we gonna switch topics real quick, but I'm gonna throw this out there. It's not like she's having the issue that Meg is having.
Okay, got you.
Like Meg still ain't hit nothing yet. Like, you know, she drops a single here and there. Like Savage went up, but that's because of, and it's not because of the fucking remix with Beyonce. I'm not even saying that. Like the song went up because it's just Meg TikTok. And TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a good song for what it was.
But that's a whole other conversation.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to get too far off into Meg stuff. But yeah. I'm letting the listeners of OS know I'm not really feeling good news. And we'll leave it there.
I haven't even listened to it yet. Man. Like I'm going to get to it. I don't have desire to go listen to it. That body song really deterred me, bro. Like it's not a good song.
Like we want, like this is the thing, and I guess this is why I hate talking about women rappers, right? Because when you talk about them in the same critique fashion that you do other MCs, it seems like you're, some people will say that you're woman bash. I'm not saying the listeners OS are like that, because you know our listeners understand us.
Yeah,
you know they understand us. They if you've been listening to OS for a while, you know what me and Johnny get down with. Exactly. You know what we like. You know how this thing goes. So it's not that we are bashing a woman because we don't like the music. It's just that the music's not that good.
Because you can make songs women want to shake their ass to, but you can make them good. Like you can make a good song like that.
Yeah, and it's not even like the content. Like, you know, guys like, oh, you know, grab the dick and all that. I don't want to do that. Well, you hear it when I'm not saying the guys rap about that, but just the inverse of that. Like you're comfortable with hearing that then. So if it rap and it sound good, it sound good. Like I don't care about like the content. It's like, do it sound good?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Sheesh, man. We all have to do a part two because this was fun. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, we had another list of rappers that we can get into, but you know, for the time's sake, we want our listeners to just kind of leave on this high note and enjoy this episode. You know what I'm saying? We had fun with this though.
100%.
We're not gonna get too many of these this year. This might be what we got. One more.
We got one more episode for 2020. It'll be our year end wrap up. And
yeah, man.
We got some things in store.
Yeah, we gotta take a break, man. We got like I think we've been very, very consistent in the quarantine and then you know COVID season and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like you know I've experienced things. Johnny's experienced things. Like you know, it's been a lot. And you know. Just give us some time to kind of reset, retool. We'll be back in 2021. It'll be February though, but you know,
we'll be back. We'll tweet out old episodes for y'all to catch up on.
Yeah,
some of our favorites.
Or we retool them. Hey man, you'll still get content from the boys, and then you know we'll probably be dropping the Breaking the Wire footage. Yes, no, maybe so.
Yes, I'm in the process of editing it. It's a lot. It's like,
oh, nah, I'm already
like 10 hours worth of footage. So
I'm already knowing. Like
we're gonna put that on YouTube, hopefully before the end of the year.
That was some in-depth conversations. But now, man, we appreciate the people like even listening to that content, even if you don't fuck with The Wire or Breaking Bad, yeah. like you just fuck with us. Like you just listen to what we had to say about it. So now, nah, especially Flaw, Flaw been cussing us out every day. On right. like forget all that Breaking Bad. Breaking right. now shout out to Flaw, man. And oh man, let me I guess while we're here, man, let me shout out two people in particular. Manny from Any Given Sunday, if you listen to this, happy birthday, bro. Oh, and then not to mention, you know, one of our great listeners and supporters and my brother, Jordan, it's his birthday, captain of the EBG, you know, he's butt. So, you know, I just want
Yo, that's crazy.
He's butt. Like, but nah, shout out to you, bro. And happy birthday, man.
Shout out to Manny and Jordan, man. Just be doing shout outs. I want to shout out my sister, man. Oh, shout out to Lena. The day we dropped is December 3rd. She's turning 30.
Okay, that's what's up. Happy that's birthday, crazy. Lena. That's Happy crazy. Birthday, Lena.
That's crazy. 30? My guy.
Hey, man. People get old out here, man. That's what it makes you feel like. Oh,
man. My little sister, man. I love you. I'm proud of the woman you've become. Happy 30th. All that good stuff. That's crazy, man.
Yep,
30. That's crazy.
I know, man. But nah, man, that was episode 91.
Yes. We appreciate y'all for getting this far. And
yeah, if you made it this far, make sure you like, comment, share, you know, rate, all that great stuff. Apple Podcasts, you know what to do.
Facts. And episode 91, and we out.
Chill.
Peace.